Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Join the show. The number for you to do that is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're doing a little something different here tonight. Actually have a video feed up for our remote host. Reed Coverdale is with me. It's Ian. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Good to have you here. So, you know, even though our video stream isn't the focus of the show, we do have the technical ability to do this kind of stuff, so might as well add it for the two dozen people or whatever it is that are actually going to be watching this. So thanks to everybody that does tune in on our video streams, which we are on Odyssey over at video.freetalklive.com. Reed, it's been a little bit since you've been on. You've been pretty busy at work. You happen to be at, like, I guess it's been kind of snow days, essentially. You work with trucks. You go around and you put lines back up, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, we've had a pretty stormy January. I worked straight through Christmas. And then I came back on the show sometime late December. I don't think I've been back since then. I've just been working, like every day. So been out, I mean, usually out for like several days at a time. And I don't know. It's amazing how important electricity is to people. I remember like 10 years ago when I first started working in it, this woman came out and asked me when the power was going to be back on. And I said, oh, should be within a few hours. And she said, okay, good. Cause if the power's out, I can't charge my cell phone. I can't have my alarm go off to wake me up to go to work on time. I remember just thinking then, like, wow, it's so amazing how much people rely on electricity now to do stuff that you definitely didn't need, you know, to charge your cell phone, you know, like even 10 years before that, nearly as often as you do. Like everyone, I mean, society just falls apart completely without power now.
So. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess back in the day, the cell phones would last for a couple of days, right? Because you didn't have the big screens on them that sucked down all the power.
Or you'd have like some sort of an alarm clock that was, you know,
physical,
like a regular. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So.
Well, we still need electricity for that. Although I guess they did have battery backups. So.
Or just like the ones you know, the regular battery powered ones or whatever. I don't know. But it was just. I don't know why I thought of that. It was just one example of like, wow, you can't even go to work on time if you don't have electricity now. Like that's what we've been reduced to, you know?
Yeah. Certainly we're dependent on things like that. And that's obviously something that's not going to change anytime soon, but glad you're out there doing that work and glad to have you here as well. I know you wanted to talk about China tonight. We'll get into that coming up. But first, a story that's a little closer to home here that I spotted on social media today. This is coming from the Eagle Times, which I believe is like a North Country, or maybe it's the Upper Valley in New Hampshire, somewhere up there. It's a New Hampshire newspaper, and they're talking about this donut shop that is under fire from the town zoning board. Have you heard about this story yet?
Someone made a joke about it, and that's how I heard about it. But, yeah, I don't know anything about it, though.
Levitt's Country Bakery's owner announced, announced this week that he's bringing a federal lawsuit against the town of Conway, alleging that the town is violating the business's First Amendment right to keep a mural depicting various pastries above its building. The suit was filed Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Concord by local attorney John Krabs, and a few other attorneys from the Institute for Justice, including Robert Frommer and Elizabeth Sands. Levitt's owner, Sean Young, Frommer and Sands held a news conference in front of the Conway Bakery around 11 a.m. on Tuesday, and the announcement was covered by a bunch of media outlets from the region. Last June, after about a week after the mural went up, Conway Assistant Code Enforcement Officer Jeremy Gibbs determined it was an illegally large sign that violated town zoning ordinances. Now, let me just describe this for you here, for our listeners that are not familiar with this story. It is not wordy. There's no actual words on the sign. It's not saying, Levitt's Country Bakery on there. It's just got pictures of, like, looks like maybe a blueberry muffin, a couple of donuts, and, like, a sunrise. So the donuts and the muffins and such are kind of laid out as though they're like a mountain range, and you get the sun that's kind of rising up behind it. And, you know, again, generally when you look at the terminology of sign, it usually has some sort of beckoning, right? Like, oh, you can park here, or such and such a business name, or call to order, you know, things like that. Some sort of call to action, some sort of reason to do a thing to alert you of what this is. And they're calling this a sign. And apparently it was actually created by the local high school. So, like, this was like a total small-towny kind of New Hampshire thing. But I guess the town has no sense of, you know, caring about that. They said based on the size of Levitt's building, the sign should be about 22 feet square, but the mural is 91 square feet. Speaking Tuesday in front of the mural, Sand said the town has said this is a sign, not a mural, and that matters because in Conway, signs are regulated, but murals are not. She says the town says it's a sign because it depicts products the bakery sells. If the bakery had a mural depicting mountains, then the art would be allowed. The art could also have been legal if placed at the farm stand next door, as it doesn't sell baked goods. So your mural, you can have a mural, but it can't be about what you do. Can have anything to do with your products. Now, I don't know if that's actually in the sign code, but if it is, hopefully they're going to be successful at overturning this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been some other cases, and I don't have them, you know, in front of me right now, but essentially there's, I remember when I think Daryl Perry was on the show, he did some research into this, and he found that a lot of these sign regulations in these small towns and, you know, even in cities, in many cases are quite unconstitutional, right? Because, I mean, if there is a freedom of speech and you have a, you know, you own your property, then how can these people, these bureaucrats, tell you that you can't write something on your property for other people to see? I mean, so just kind of on its face, the idea of a sign ordinance just seems blatantly anti-freedom of speech. So I'm glad to see that these guys are going against this. And this isn't, again, in federal courts.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the logic is silly, but it has serious consequences, for the town is now threatening enforcement against the mural, adding the business owner, Mr. Young, faces fines of $275 every day and possibly even criminal charges. All of this over artwork. Quote, that is unconstitutional. This mural is art that is protected by the First Amendment, and that is true whether it features real mountains or donut mountains. The lawsuit asks for a judgment that the town's discrimination against murals is unconstitutional, a preliminary judgment in preventing the town from enforcing its zoning code against Levitt's, a permanent injunction asking for the same, $1 in damages for, quote, violations of the plaintiff's constitutional rights, attorney's fees, and any other relief deemed just and proper. Suit says the town has no substantial, important, or compelling government interest in regulating the sign, as it is not a safety hazard. Now, this is probably not going to overturn the entirety of the sign code, but it sure would be nice if somebody could pull that off. Young said last spring he learned the Kennett High art students were seeking a venue for a class project, and he thought he could give them the perfect place. Quote, we do a lot for the community in the town, so we thought we would love to get involved with the local high school, he said, adding the sign was well received and made the local news. Then about a week later, he said, a code enforcement officer came in and said that it's not art, that it was a sign and it needed to come down. Young said he got angry when he learned the town acknowledged in 2006 that the sign ordinance was, quote, unconstitutionally vague, unquote. He said, I'm here to stand up for the local students, for artists everywhere. I don't think the government should be allowed to tell them what to do with their art. We're not going to be bullied by the town officials who are trying to impose an ordinance on us. And I think the First Amendment is the cornerstone of democracy. Young said he bought Levitt's only a year and a half ago, and the bakery isn't even profitable yet. So how in the world, I mean, $275 a day, that's enough to ruin just about anyone's business. You know, and I don't think you should pay a dime to these people. But, you know, if they actually are able to levy that fine against him, it would completely ruin him because they would essentially just be able to take his business right out from under him. And then they'll come in there with, you know, some bureaucrats and either paint the sign over or just destroy it entirely. Frommer said the judge is likely to grant their requests within days. Asked about a warrant article petitioned by Settlers Green to rewrite the sign ordinance, he said, to be honest, this issue is larger than the article put forward by Settlers. It still leaves the board with deciding what the primary purpose of the sign is. He says a lawsuit gave Levitt's until February 3rd to take the mural down, and then they will start fining the business. So this begins, the fines begin tomorrow, apparently. Frommer said the lawsuit asks a federal judge to bar the town from trying to take action against Levitt's while the case proceeds. We do, by the way, have Joa joining us here from Breaking the Flaw. Welcome, Joa.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good. We're talking about the donut shop in New Hampshire, in Conway, New Hampshire.
Yes.
You've heard about this story.
Yes, I did hear about that. It's horrendous what the town's doing to them.
Yeah, and they are in federal court here. And, of course, I hope that we'll get updates on this. I mean, it's not... Conway's a little ways away, so I don't know if I'm going to hear all the news on this, but maybe I should follow the case on Pacer just to make sure we, you know, get the latest on what's going on here. But this is a big free speech issue, and I mean, for anybody that cares about freedom of speech, they should be paying attention to this, especially the freedom to do business without having to ask some government permission. This is a big problem here in Keene. I suspect it's a problem all across the state. I mean, Conway is just a small town.
It is. It's one of those vacation towns, it seems like, that they want everything to be very precise.
Mm-hmm.
And too bad. You know, people have the right to do whatever they want to their property.
They should.
How dare these trashy people try to control another person, a business. And, like, you know, government doesn't run like a business. It runs like an authoritative thug. And, you know, they have to acquire their money through force. Whereas these people are trying to promote their business and bring revenue to the town.
Yeah, how dare they?
Yeah, how dare they?
I mean, how does the town expect businesses to pay the insane property taxes that these towns are foisting upon them if they're not allowed to actually promote what they're doing?
You think these pigs like donuts, but they don't. Not.
Well, maybe they like donuts, Joe, but there's a donut shop they prefer. Maybe there's another donut provider that is, you know, closer to downtown or whatever, right? Like, I've never been to Conway, so I don't know where this place is. But maybe there's, like, an older... Because he said he just bought this business a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So maybe they got some... You know how these small-town politics can go. I mean, you rub somebody the wrong way, you cross the good old boys network, and they'll have it out for you.
Yeah, don't mess with my donuts, right?
Like, right, yeah. There's probably somebody that's, like, you know, a friend of the town councilman who runs a donut shop, and he, like, gives them free donuts or whatever, and so they're probably working against his buddy, working against this guy.
Yeah, they better hope there's not, like, a bulldozer helping Conway that this guy finally decides to outfit with some concrete panels or something. You know, he might have enough eventually.
Well, there was a dude in New Hampshire that did that. Remember Carl Draga back in the day? He didn't do the bulldozer thing, but he did.
Uh-huh.
I think he went, like, and shot some bureaucrats, didn't he?
Oh, wow.
You guys haven't heard of that story?
I have not heard about
that. That's like pre-Free State time. So, like, I wasn't living here at the time, but that was one of those old New Hampshire stories of a dude got pushed too far by...
Oh, is this the guy with the riverbank or something going... Yeah, I have heard this story. Yep.
Yeah, it was something about a river, and I don't remember all the details, but, you know, the town was just encroaching upon his freedoms, and he was just like, okay... that's it. You pushed me too far, and he just went and just shot some bureaucrats.
That's not the solution.
Look, I'm not saying I support what Draga did. I don't think violence is the solution here. I think you're lowering yourself to their level when you do that. But
absolutely,
it is predictable. Yeah. It's predictable.
It should be expected, and because, like, you know, you're completely destroying lives. And what do these people have to lose? Nothing. So this is why they go out and do that. You know, I wish people would think twice before they do it.
Right. When you destroy somebody to the point where they have no property anymore, you've ruined their business. The guy bought this business. You know, he says he's not even profitable yet. So he's literally probably poured chunk of his life savings into this. Yeah. And then you're going to tell him he can't even have a sign. Not even a sign. A mural.
Yeah.
He can't have beautiful artwork. Or else.
It's scary.
$275 a day.
It's the price we pay to live in a civilized society.
Yeah, and it's a slap in the face, not only against these, you know, these kids at the high school that came in there and did this mural, which, you know, it's a nice looking mural. Not only is it a slap in the face to them and a slap in the face to the business owner, but also the whole idea of live free or die. I mean, the idea of a sign ordinance is ridiculous, and all of them need to be overturned, not just Conway's. But the whole concept of a sign ordinance just needs to go away. And,
absolutely.
And we've got a huge problem with it here in Keene. Like, Keene is sort of the left coast, if you will, of New Hampshire. It is a lefty city.
Yeah.
It's a big government city. It's got some of the highest property taxes of all of the towns in New Hampshire. And they hate business here. They hate. One of the things I noticed when I first moved here, 15, 16 years ago, was like, you can't see business signs. Like it's almost like they require them to plant fully grown trees in front of the signage just so people can't see where they're at.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I just looked up a picture that I've been here.
To the donut shop?
Yeah, I believe this is the one that you can fit big trucks into, because when I've been up to Conway before, I remember stopping, because it was years ago, but when I was working in Raymond at a different time, I was bringing a piece of equipment up to Conway, and the guys at the shop told me, you have to stop at Levitt's Bakery and get us some of the donuts because they're the best donuts in the state. So stopped and got them. But yeah, I just pulled up a picture of the sign. The mural. Well, no, it's a sign, apparently.
Was the mural there when you visited?
I don't remember.
It looks fresh and new from the photo that I saw. I'm assuming it's a recent picture.
The final bit here from the Eagle Times, NPR asked if Levitt should have asked the town for permission to put up the sign. Frommer said the town had many opportunities to relent, but Levitt never should have had to get permission in the first place. Quote, the whole point of the First Amendment is that we don't have to ask government officials for permission before we get to speak. We get to be the ones to decide what to say or what to paint, he said. Yeah, if you ask someone for permission to exercise, then they will say no.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what government does best, is tells you no. But whenever you ask for permission, what you're doing is you're converting your right into a privilege. There's a key difference between rights and privileges, right? So a right is something you can just exercise because of the fact that you are a human being and you have these rights. A privilege is something that you might be allowed to do if your master says you can do it, right? So that's why you never ask to have a protest. You never ask to go out in public and express yourself, or in this guy's case, to have a mural painted on your building.
Well, I did some civil disobedience a few weeks ago, and I asked for permission, and they just blatantly said no. I still
did. Who did you ask? Wait, tell me a little bit more. Who did you ask and where?
First I called City Hall. They referred me, yes, in Manchester. They referred me to the parking division. They referred me to the DPW. They referred me to the police.
Pass the buck. That's pretty common.
And it's now they're all educated what I'm going to do, because I told each one of them what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
so you weren't asking for permission. You were putting them on notice.
Well, both, sort of. Because I said I was basically going to do it anyways. I'm just asking them, hey, hey, is it okay if I park, even though it's a parking ban? However, just to let you know, I completely cleared the sidewalk and the road, so the plow can't do anything. Can I still park there? And eventually, you know, being forwarded to the police, they said no. And I was like, oh, so it's more so the letter of the law and not the principle of the law?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you can't park there. And I was like, well, here's the second part of the deal. What if I shovel the fire station across the street? And they're like, no, we can't do that either. And the next thing you know, 10 minutes later after I had that call, there's a plow in the fire station.
Mm.
But I still parked on the street, so I didn't get a ticket.
Let me just see if I can follow what's going on here. So in Manchester, there's a prohibition on parking on certain sides of the street, right? Like during...
Not the street that I was parking on, but it, parking ban, no one can park on the street.
So you... So, oh, no one can park on any side of the street?
Correct.
In that case? Okay, I thought it was just like on and off again.
Nights. That was happening, but not specifically the street that I was parking on. It doesn't occur.
And so you basically were going to violate that parking ban.
And I did.
And they didn't do anything about
No.
it? And did you, is it true you sat in your car all night waiting for them?
Not all night.
Mm-hmm.
I actually drove around a little bit and I saw tow truck drivers and, well, the tow truck drivers were violating the law, the Jessica's Law.
What's
so,
that?
Jessica's Law in New Hampshire says that you have to clean off your vehicle so, you know, if the snow doesn't fly into another car, ice or snow. And the tow trucks were grabbing all these, you know, illegally, so-called illegal parked cars. And you know what they didn't do? Clear off the snow on those cars. So they're all violating the Jessica's Law while they're raking in the monies.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to the government.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to comment here, you're welcome to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you've had to deal with these sign ordinance Nazis in these little towns. I've never actually taken the time to read through it, but yeah. I've certainly known people, our friends over at the Mighty Moose Mart here in town. They've got a, you know, a nice location. It's right on the side of one of the main state roads that comes into Keene. Mm-hmm. But yet they are highly restricted on the kind of signage that they can put just not just outside of their business, but
sure.
even in their windows
yeah.
as well. And it's just absolutely insane. So all they're allowed to have is like this little clapboard that mm-hmm. they can set out by the road. And I guess the only reason for that is because it's portable. So like they yeah. put it out at the beginning of the day, they take it in at the end of the day. So besides that, there's not actually any quote unquote signage outside of the business, with the exception of like the logo that's in the windows. Ridiculous.
I used to make signs professionally for like 12 years, right? And graphic design and mm-hmm. manufacturing them. Sometimes when I was on the road, my boss would call me, like, hey, can you just go pick up this permit? It's ready. It wasn't ready. And mm-hmm. it's like, it would take, I'd be sitting in there for 2 hours waiting for this permit to finally
wow.
be fulfilled. They said it was ready. They were just doing it right there on the spot, like they usually do. And, it was just really egregious. And all the hoops that our customers had to go through, and we provided the service to pick up the permits and do it, like, you know, get it all initiated for them. It just, they waste so much money, so much of, like, our customers' money. It was unbelievable. It was completely unnecessary. They're just, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity they can, you know.
To rake in the money.
And yeah. preventing a brand new business from going open because the permit's not ready yet. Well, we got to approve it. We got to look at it. We got to see where it's going. All this nonsense.
This place is so backwards out here in Keene. You can't even have electronic signs here.
Right. Like historical society.
Some towns, there's a ton of electronic signs everywhere.
Yeah.
But not here. Can't have them. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll get into China and maybe Putin and who knows what else is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Most of the southern United States has been stuck in a thick layer of ice. At least 8 deaths, canceled flights, power outages, and school closures have all been blamed on the frigid blast of winter weather. Ice is covering the region from Texas to Tennessee. Police are still searching for the person who shot and killed a Sayreville, New Jersey councilwoman.
The guy sprinted through that mailbox alleyway, and I don't know where he went.
Lance Pry has more.
Police say Eunice Jumfor was found in her car after being shot multiple times by her home last night in Sayreville. That's about 25 miles south of Newark.
At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 39 points at 34.054. The S&P 500 rose 61 points to 41.80. The NASDAQ gained 385 points to 12.201. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want to discuss. Take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio is Ian Joa joining us remotely.
Reed Coverdale.
Reed is with us. Reed's the host of Naturalist Capitalist. That is his podcast, which you can find over on Odyssey and maybe YouTube still. Still over at YouTube?
Still YouTube for now.
And also, Joa has his thing that he does called Breaking the Flaw, which isn't a podcast. It's more of a First Amendment auditor kind of thing. And you can find also Joa over at Odyssey and YouTube as well under Breaking the Flaw.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Indeed. So phones are open here. You guys can join us. I know, Reed, you were interested to some extent in talking about China. I know I saw in the news recently there it was like the same old headline is back. Remember, I think it was last year, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House at the time, was told, you shall not go to Taiwan or else. And then she went to Taiwan. And I guess the or else didn't materialize in that particular incident. But now the same threat is being brought out once again by China with regard to the new guy. The Republican dude that's in there, whatever the hell his name was, McCarthy. And they're telling him the same thing, you shall not go to Taiwan, and whether he does or not, I guess, still remains to be seen. But that wasn't per se what you wanted to cover tonight, Reed. It's possibly much worse than that situation.
Yeah, well, Mike McCall, who is apparently the new chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives, has just made headlines. He said that the odds are very high of U.S. military conflict with China over Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And he was saying within the next 2 years, he has a feeling it's going to be in 2025. And, of course, he hopes not. See, the thing about this is I've been talking about this for almost a year now because I listen to the guys at, like, antiwar.com, mm-hmm. Scott Horton, Dave DeCamp, those guys. And they've been talking about how tensions with China have been rising for a long time. And it's China is kind of the Ukraine – or, sorry, the Russia for the right wing. So the left, for the most part, is just completely freaked out about – Russia, they're just the worst thing ever. And, you know, we have to do everything we can to protect Ukraine from Russia. On the right, it's very similar just with China and Taiwan. And a lot of people who are actually fairly non-interventionist on Russia and Ukraine on the right, they kind of throw that out the window when it comes to China and Taiwan. And just like with what's going on in Ukraine right now, like, no, not very many people on the right will claim that they actually want to go to war with China.
Because that's insane.
Pushing, yeah, they'll just keep pushing for policies that push us closer and closer to war with China.
Right, so the policy would ensure that a war would happen. So they're saying on one hand that they don't support war, but yet they're putting in policies into place where if X happens, then, okay, war's coming. That's basically what the situation is.
Yeah, I mean, they've just passed a bill. I forget how – I think it's – $10 billion in aid to Taiwan, in military, lethal military aid to Taiwan over the next 4 years. I think that was in one of the latest omnibus bills. So, I mean, that's very similar to how we led up to this conflict with Russia and Ukraine, you know, arming Ukraine. So, I mean, we just don't learn any lessons.
Yeah, and of course, now in the Ukraine thing, I'm sure you guys have heard that they're now planning to send over Abrams tanks, sending over German tanks as well. And somebody made a meme with Joe Biden, I guess, at the beginning of the war a year ago in Ukraine. He said something about tanks would be an act of war. If they'd sent tanks, oh, we're not going to send over tanks. And now here you are just about a year later, and they're sending over tanks. In fact, I could talk about what Putin had to say here in a little bit, but a little bit more on the China situation. So this guy, the head of the whatever committee it was, he's saying he thinks it's going to be in 2025. Like, how can anybody make a prediction like that? What does he know that, you know, that we don't?
I don't know a ton about this guy, to be honest, but at least he's being somewhat honest about the situation. Like a lot of people who are for arming Taiwan or for protecting Taiwan or for, you know, sailing U.S. warships through the Taiwan Strait, et cetera, they have their head in the clouds, like, oh no, we're not gonna, or their head in the sand. I mean, like, we're not gonna, you know, this is our right to do this and they're our ally and this isn't gonna cause any problems. At least he's being somewhat realistic that this could, you know, escalate into some sort of conflict. So, I don't know. I mean,
it is escalation into a conflict. Technically, it's escalation.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Taiwan is, what, like 200 miles in the widest part off the coast of China? So, I mean, the other side of the Pacific Ocean, this would be like if, you know, imagine if Cuba had, like, Chinese armaments that they were getting from the Chinese government, and the Chinese were sailing warships between Cuba and Florida, and, you know, they're and if Xi Jinping or some government official were going to Cuba to meet with the Cuban government, I mean, to act like the United States wouldn't retaliate against that is just ridiculous. Of course they would.
And it also doesn't seem like it would go real well, right? Like, you're literally coming into China's neighborhood, basically. And that doesn't seem like it's going to be a particularly fair fight, if you will. Like, you know, I mean, how quick that could escalate to nuclear weapons, it's really scary to think about that.
Yeah, and the State Department, you know, they have named China as our number one enemy, even though we're, you know, very close
to the number one trading partner. You know?
Yeah, and we're extremely close to this direct conflict with Russia, and China is still our number one enemy, according to the State Department. But even like Rex Tillerson, when he was Secretary of State, he never said that China threatens the United States. He says it it threatens the United States' domination of the Pacific, which is very different than threatening the United States or its interests or, you know, like threatening its domination of the Pacific, which is an ocean that borders China. You know, it's just kind of ridiculous.
I mean, if people thought it was bad, you know, post-COVID when there were all the supply issues, right? Because remember, a lot of Chinese factories shut down due to the various Chinese restrictions over there, and that resulted in tremendous delay. And then, of course, the U.S. had its issues with delivery on our side, meaning that a lot of drivers weren't driving. There was the backup of the ships at the ports in Los Angeles and I think Long Beach as well, where there was like, I don't know, 100 or 200 cargo ships that were out there just sitting and waiting. If you thought that was bad, wait till there's a war between China and the United States. Like, why on earth would commerce continue if bombs are being dropped, if you know, firing is going on between those two sides? What was our number one supplier of products from a, you know, huge range of industries would be completely cut off. And it's not like those factories can just – it's not like they have a secondary factory in India or Pakistan or something, a lot of these companies, that they can just flip on and then just start sending products from there. I mean, you're going to see a serious drop in availability of things like, you know, chips for cars and whatever other products that people rely on from China. That's just going to be gone.
Yep.
I mean, you want to talk about a tremendous – you want to talk about prices going up? You're going to see that too, because the, you know, lower supply, right? It's going to mean higher prices.
This could cripple like Amazon in a way too, because a lot of product comes from China.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's to me like, I mean, beyond the human cost of the actual conflict of people dying in bombing raids or whatever, the economic cost is like, it's incalculable. What they're talking about here. So, is there anything else that, you know, in that story, Reed, that you wanted to share about?
Now, I would just say, like, everyone needs to be vigilant about the propaganda that they're going to start pushing about China. I mean, they've already been pushing propaganda, but I saw another story today that there was a Chinese spy balloon over Montana. And to me, that's highly coincidental that, you know, right after this guy says this about China, we suddenly spot a Chinese spy balloon over Montana.
How would they know? Yeah. Doesn't it have Chinese characters on it?
It said right on it, made in China.
That means it's a U.S. spy balloon if it's made in China.
Well, right. But, who's reporting this?
I saw it from a few different big accounts on Twitter, and I didn't read too far into the story. But I want people to instantly be skeptical whenever you hear some story like that, because, I mean, it's not by accident that you have these rumors of war coming with China, and then you're going to start getting stories about, you know, awful things the Chinese government is doing and all, you know, just like take it all with a grain of salt, because the people feeding you your information are not good people.
It's a side fact, but I just heard that China is no longer the most popular populous country in the world. They've been surpassed by India now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. That's interesting. So, you know, you bring up this spy balloon thing. I'm curious to see the images of this being in Montana. It's like, how did the Chinese get a spy balloon into Montana? Did they come through Canada to make that happen? I mean, how would they do that?
I wouldn't be surprised if they have a high-quality balloon that could just fly around the Earth and, you know, with the solar panel on it and just stays inflated and it just flies around. And
have you seen the images of this, Reed, this purported balloon?
Yeah. Let me pull it up. If you just type in Chinese spy balloon, I bet it'll...
Yeah, just because made me curious because I just happened to...
Yep, there it is.
Does it look like a blimp or does it look like an actual balloon?
It looks like a balloon, like a hot air balloon with I can't tell if that is, I think that is a solar panel under it or something. I can't tell
if this is a
satellite image from the, I would assume this is from the bottom and that the solar panel keep, I don't know.
Weird.
But yeah, I would just caution everyone to be skeptical about these types of stories.
Yeah, the claim here on this is that it's supposedly being tracked by U.S. fighter jets, this spy balloon, alleged spy balloon from China. Again, how do we know what this is? How do we know where it came from? But it reminded me of a news video that I saw from Nogales, Arizona. And what brought it to my attention was David Hathaway is the sheriff down there in Nogales. Now, I don't know if you guys know who David Hathaway is. He's an actual, like, self-described, I could not believe this was the case, but it's absolutely true. He's a self-described, like, voluntarist, anarchist sheriff. Like, real deal.
Wow.
He's the sheriff of that particular county. It's a border county in Arizona. And the reason I know who David Hathaway is he used to be an advertiser here on Free Talk Live years ago. He wrote a book about immigration, you know, a very libertarian immigration book, right? Because a lot of libertarians, they kind of disagree on this subject.
They're not libertarian.
There's some nuance to it. And he's pro-immigration. Okay, so he actually ran as a Democrat in this area of Arizona. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the county, but it's, I believe, where the city of Nogales is. And he's been down there for some, you know, time. He's a native from down there, so, you know, people know him or whatever. And they interviewed him for this story about a Border Patrol blimp. So when you started talking about a balloon from China, it made me think maybe this is actually, you know, the U.S. government doing this, but it's a different product. So this looks like a blimp, the thing that's in Nogales, whereas the one in Montana is like more of a spherical balloon. But they've got this creepy blimp that is just flying above Nogales, Arizona, and watching everybody. And it's the whole story is just about this thing and how it's just creeping on the entire town, and it's turning off people from, like, going downtown, and they don't want to go, you know, they just don't want to be spied upon as they're going about their daily business.
So people like freedom?
Apparently. Some of them do. Enough people to make a news story about it. So that's what came to my mind, was like, maybe this is a government balloon. Maybe this is the U.S. government's balloon. And they're just saying it's from China. Because, like, why would we, like you said, take everything with a grain of salt? Why would you believe what the government tells you? I mean, it always surprises me how many libertarians who should know better, and we saw this crystal clear with COVID, just bought the government line, hook, line, and sinker, with this whole COVID hysteria. People believing what the Fauci was saying, or believing what Trump or Biden was saying. It's like, just because there's some supposed threat out there, all of a sudden some libertarians completely lost their way, threw aside whatever principles they supposedly had, and just said, "Tell me what to do, mommy." It was
really sad. The thing is, especially with the foreign policy, they tug on your heartstrings, right? They show you pictures of women who are being beaten in Iran or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they talk about how bad communism is. And, yeah, all those things bad. The way women are treated in Iran is awful. Communism's terrible in China. Like, it all sucks. But, like, going to war makes things so much worse.
For them and for us.
And even if the worst things that your government is telling you about your adversaries is true, which most of the time it isn't, by the way, but even if it is, so what? Like, what can you do about it? As I mean, when it comes to trying to impose your way of life that you think is better on another country, that takes a lot of force, a lot of bombs, a lot of murder. The correct way to try to encourage people to embrace freedom is through trade. And when it comes to China, people get so angry when you say that, because they really have bought this narrative that we need to really go to war with them economically and crush them. And, you know, I do think we need to be more competitive with them, but that's our own fault. That's for overregulating our own economy and making it impossible to start anything here. But, you know, being competitive trading partners with them is how you maintain peace. And it is also how you encourage them to be more free.
Yeah.
Not going to war with them.
Competition allows innovation. And, we could be so much more advanced in society if they didn't have this sort of lack of competition of sorts.
There's no better way than setting a good example. You know, and that's, I think that's what the Free Staters want to do here in New Hampshire, is to set this place. I mean, New Hampshire's already the freest of all the states. according to the Freedom in the 50 States study, and according to some others. But
according to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Florida. Florida is not a free place. The whole idea that Florida is just free state is absolutely ridiculous. But New Hampshire, you know, could be even more free. Like, we can, and I believe we will, given, you know, another 5 or 10 years or whatever, separate ourselves and put, like, the distance between Florida or Idaho or whatever the second or third most free states are, just separate that distance out to where there's just no way they're ever going to catch up, where there's just no doubt it's crystal clear New Hampshire is the freest place on the planet. And show the rest of the world that freedom works.
Well, I mean, in the legislative sense, yes. Like, I wouldn't say that New Hampshire is the freest place on earth. I'm sure there's better.
I didn't say that was true today.
Oh.
It might be, but it's hard to really know.
Yeah.
Because like, all the studies that look at economic freedom or personal freedom, they look usually only at countries.
Mm.
So New Hampshire isn't broken out from the rest of the pack.
I see.
The Fraser Institute, though, to their credit, they do the Freedom in the North America study, where they look at all of North America, including Canada, including Mexico, and they break it down. They actually do break it down by state, and they do lump them all into the same study. So you can actually see where Canadian provinces rank in relation to U.S. states and where Mexican states rank. So that's kind of an interesting thing. It'd be nice to see those numbers extrapolated out for the states and comparing them to the rest of the countries of the world. But given that New Hampshire is the freest of the 50 states, there's a good chance that it ranks within the top five, I would say, of the most free countries on the planet, just right now.
I would agree.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of freedom in New Hampshire, have you guys seen the new trailer for NBC Boston?
I have, yeah.
Reed, have you seen this new trailer yet?
I haven't.
Okay, so for listeners that don't know, for like the last year and a half, I think, maybe at least the last year,
there's a
couple of reporters from, or producers or whatever you want to call them, from Boston's NBC affiliate that have been coming here to New Hampshire. They've been going to various different events. They went to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They were at the day you got arrested, Joe,
yes,
where we all were.
They showed that footage in the teaser.
Yeah, it's in the trailer. And so they've been at they've been a lot of stuff that I've been to. They came out to the Crypto 6 trial on a number of occasions and shot some footage outside and interviews and things like that. And they've been meeting with people. They've been meeting with, you know, movers and shakers and doers and doing interviews and just kind of getting a feel, like, like the most in-depth kind of reporting I've seen here, because usually news media will come up for a one-off, like, oh, we, you know, there's this thing happening, this drama, this story here. They'll do their report, they'll go back home, and then that's it, right?
Yeah.
But these guys have been coming up and shooting a ton of footage.
Apparently, they got 400 hours of footage.
Wow. Yeah, I believe it.
That's a lot of footage.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's gonna. They're going to boil that down. It's going to be turned into not a news package, because normally what happens with
a perspective piece, I would say, like
it's going to be like a documentary, I think, piece, but sort of like, from what they told me, it's going to be shorter length. So you're not going to see like a full hour long, like the HBO's Anarchist. It's not going to be like that. They're going to do a series of them, so there may be 10 or 20. I don't know how many they're gonna crank out, but they might only be 10 minutes.
I hope they don't edit out Bulldog's elbow.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And I'm sure you're going to have I hope you'll have an update for us on that case.
Well, I mean, today was going to be the trial.
Right, but it got kicked back.
Correct.
But you don't have the new date yet, right?
I don't. Okay. And I also don't have discovery yet. They still haven't given me discovery.
Now they can take longer because they're going to push the trial back.
Right, but like that. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten the continuance because they didn't give me the discovery in time.
Oh, did you ask for the continuance?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I thought they did.
No.
So anyway, this NBC Boston, they really have put a lot of work into this. The footage, they're working on editing it right now. I don't know when the first episode is going to come out. It's actually, I'm not sure if it's even going to be on their channel. It may be an online-only thing. I don't remember if they were going to actually play it on broadcast television. And it's like,
I don't see how they would play it on TV, because it's a six-part miniseries.
No, I think it's going to be much more than six.
That's what someone told me. That's all.
My understanding is it's going to be like a dozen or more episodes.
Wow.
I could be wrong.
That
about
is that. Like, that's strange for like a sort of like a local CBS affiliate.
Yeah.
It's type an unusual, of thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's an unusual thing that they're doing here, and it is going to be something they focus on. They're going to be putting it on their website, and they came out with a 4-minute long trailer here, and I want to play the trailer, and we'll comment on it here in a little bit. But we've got a lot going on here in New Hampshire, and I was saying online today that this trailer is a perfect example of why, or a good example of what success looks like for libertarians, right? Because this is not the first thing that has happened like this. There's another documentary that's being produced here right now. There have been other documentaries produced here in the past. We've had a ton of media coverage of the activism that has gone on here and the controversy because of that activism. No libertarian movement anywhere on the planet, besides the Free State Project, besides the libertarians migrating to New Hampshire, none of them, no other libertarian party, anybody, anywhere else, gets this kind of coverage. None of them. And the reason why is because concentration works.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why all of us moved here. That's Reed, you're the newest mover. Joe, you came, what, several years ago?
Well, back and forth, but 2010.
Okay, yeah. So you've been here more than a decade now.
Well, if we're counting that, I've been here, not the longest, but...
Well, you were born here. Yeah. But you came back after leaving for a couple of years.
I've left a couple times as well. I left in 2014 and came back in 2016, and then in 2020 and came back 2022.
It's always good when we have people come back to New Hampshire too, and that has happened on occasion. We got another one of the earliest movers for the Free State Project, Russell Canning, who was one of my inspirations for moving to Keene because of his amazing civil disobedience he did back in the day. He moved here, did some awesome civil disobedience, and then he and his wife left for like a decade.
But and that was when I moved here.
They're back.
I was living in their house.
Were you really?
The house that they sold, yeah.
But they're back now.
Yeah, they're back now.
And so it's great to see people coming back. And there's nothing like this movement. And that's what this trailer is going to focus on here. But one of the things that's going to be interesting about this documentary is they actually got the haters to talk to them. They actually, because it's hard to get these people that hate us to speak on camera, but they got it to happen. So I'm really interested to see,
mainstream media, yeah, I'll speak to you.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that coming up here, and we'll play it for you, and you can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.